Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
I don't know what it is you're going through right now. I walk through my life pretty ignorant of what's going on in other people's hearts and lives. We all are ignorant of it. But it's amazing to me how the Lord puts us together with the right people. If we're struggling, He'll put us with people that care about us. And if others are struggling, He has a year open heart toward them to help them. And we're all struggling. Myron used to always say, if there's 10 people in a room, 9 of them have a broken heart. And it's true. Everybody's struggling with something. So let's remember we're our source of help. I thought that number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought that I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. You can't even walk without you holding my hand. Think that I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on His name I'll call. If I don't trust in Him, well, I'd be less than a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Thanks. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 13 is where we are. And I'm going to read to you one verse, and I want to talk to you about something just really, really important and very, very serious for your life and mine. So let's pray together before we read this verse of the Bible, shall we? Lord, we're your people, and this is your book. And we ask that in these moments that we gather here today, that you would help each of us. Lord, there is a heavy spirit and a darkness that many of us are carrying today. And we've been hiding it for a long time. And Lord, I ask that you would help those of your people today who are struggling, who are depressed, sad, and dark. That you lift our souls today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 15 and 16. I just want to read these to you. The Apostle Paul says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." I'm going to read it one more time. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Depression is a huge problem in the lives of most people. And I'm talking about God's people. There is a darkness that comes over all of us because we live in a fallen world. And from time to time, the shadow just comes over us. And that darkness, that sadness is something we all have to face. That discouragement, that kind of untouchable sense of loss or loss of meaning or just loss of an enthusiasm for life. And I know you've done it. I know you've laid your head on the pillow at night and you've whispered a prayer. You've said, "Lord, if I don't wake up tomorrow, that's okay." You've done it, haven't you? We all have it one time and another. And I know that several here today and several listening to my voice have done that just last night. Depression is a difficult thing that all of God's people face. In fact, the old preachers used to call it the dark night of the soul. We all have to go through that. What's that old song? "You got to walk that lonesome valley." Remember that one? "You got to walk it by yourself. Nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself." Well, no, you don't. We walk all that together. When we walk it by ourselves is when we get in trouble. And there's all kinds of causes for this kind of sadness that comes over our lives. Depression is caused by a lot of times by external circumstances. A whole bunch of you here have lost loved ones in this last year. And if you've lost the significant people in your life, it doesn't matter how many years it's been. It's still fresh today, isn't it? I think of the loss of our mothers. How many times do you sit in the dark and remember something your mother or dad did for you and you whisper, just say a word, "Mama"? I found myself doing that just the other night. And it's you lose people that you love and it causes the shadow to move upon our lives. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost, you know, your health. Maybe you've had the external cause of persecution that's happened to you because of your faith in Jesus. And by the way, when we're talking about persecution and people treating you bad because of what you believe, this section in Hebrews we're talking about, it talks about how Jesus carried our sins outside the camp. That was a picture of shame, right? And Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says, we need to go meet Jesus outside the camp. The idea is that we're gonna be shamed for what we believe too. And you say, in America, I say Senator Bernie Sanders last week in a hearing of an administration official excoriated him for his personal belief that Jesus Christ was the only Savior. He brought it up in the hearings. I call him Crazy Bernie. And Bernie Sanders, thank God we were saved. I know we didn't have a whole lot to pick from this last election, but thank God it wasn't him. It's God. What's happening is a godlessness that's settling over our nation. And when we're in a hearing for somebody to work in the new administration and a senator has the gall to bring up somebody's personal faith, it happens all the time now. I mean, Bernie's over the top with everything. Okay, Bernie just is. Bernie had the idea that everybody should have free college in America. Everybody. We were sitting, my dad and I were sitting with a buddy at Pontiac Country Club one day. We hardly ever play golf, but I mean, we were at Pontiac Country Club one day. And Dad and I were sitting there. It was, you know what? It was the last time Dad played. You know that? We were playing, I know you're not interested in golf, the fifth hole, Pontiac Country Club. Dad said, I don't hit the drives anymore. I'm too old. You hit them out there, and then I'll try to hit them at the green. And so he got out to where my ball was, threw his ball down, knocked it 110 yards into the hole. And he took the club that day, put it in the bag, and said, I'm done. He has never touched them since. He never touched them. I pulled that little titleist golf ball out of the hole, and I wrote, Dad's hole out, 2013, the date, the hole, all like still sitting in my workbench. That day we were sitting in the clubhouse afterwards eating lunch, and this guy from here, one of the brothers, he said, I'll tell you what, America's rich enough, it should have to pay for everybody's college. And the old guy, this is what happens with him, we all know him, he kind of got the laser focus on this fellow and leans over and started with the infamous words, let me ask you something, Einstein. Okay, that's him. Like, who's going to pay for this, babe? You know what I mean? Who's going to? So Bernie's had those ideas, and I don't mean to trash him. We need to pray for him, because that's just lost, you guys. This whole thing of, you're going to see more and more of this in the public square. I'm not just talking government. I'm talking about in the corporate world. We checked your Facebook page, and you shared this, I don't know, name it, a Franklin Graham post on your Facebook page. Do you know what that Franklin Graham guy believes? You believe that stuff? Are you kidding me? You shared this Bible verse. What do you mean by that? Do you believe that Jesus is the only one? Are you that exclusive? Are you kidding me? Let me tell you what, it's happening. And it's happening here, and it's going to cause depression for you. Because you're going to be out of the club because you trust in Jesus. By the way, that's a whole lot easier than those Egyptian Christians in those two buses a few weeks ago, where ISIS took them off the bus one by one and asked them if they would convert to Islam, and they confessed Jesus one by one as they were murdered coming off that bus. The world is a strange place, and it's getting darker. And you say, that's bad. I say, well, yeah, but it's also good, because when it gets very dark, the light shines very bright. And this isn't home, guys, remember? This is not home. So you can have external causes for depression, like those kind of things. I don't like being excluded in a group of pastors when those pastors don't believe the Bible's true. And they talk about God and they talk about Jesus, but they don't believe what the book says about the Lord. And when they find out that I'm one of those, well, they call it evangelicals, that, you know, believes that everybody's a sinner and that we're all lost and when we need a Savior. Hey, listen, if that isn't true, we should all be playing golf this morning. Okay? If it's just the playing the religion thing and wearing the robes and burning the candles and saying the liturgies, I am not interested. You know? I'd rather do something way more fun than that. We're here today to worship a living Savior who came to die for a bunch of lost souls. And as I always say, Jesus did not come into this world to make bad people good. Jesus came into this world to make dead people live. And it's true. So, the depression is going to happen because of all of that. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. The apostle said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you're doing it right, you're going to get in trouble, that means. Okay? It's just going to happen. We have physical illness. We grow older and things fall apart. As Paul talked about, this old tent wears out. One day we're going to roll it up and get a new one, right? We're looking forward to that new day. But for now, it's not easy. As we get older, we face a lot of fear. The young today, the suicide rate among the young is so huge. The fear of the future, because all they hear is despair and no hope. And it's seeping within the hearts of God's kids too. You could be exhausted. You could be so tired that what happens is that you all of a sudden emotionally feel very far away from God, and you're not. You're just tired. You need to take a shower, eat some broccoli, and go to bed. I'm serious. If you don't like broccoli, I don't care. Eat that stuff. It's good for you. My buddy Larry Smith, he used to say, I'm on a diet. I say, really, what's the diet? He says, if it tastes good, spit it out. That's what he used to say, Larry. The donuts won with Larry, though, I have to say. He died a little while ago, actually. We also, you know, you can have a sense of meaninglessness. What does my life really mean? We are looking from the wrong perspective. We can have all those kind of feelings, and they all feed into a darkness and a depression that all of us carry. All of us. Now listen. The symptoms of depression, this loathing of life, this sorrow, this loneliness, this despair that you feel, this escapism that we all run into. You know, what is it that we can't put our phones down? It's me too. When I feel empty, when I feel lonely, I just look at Facebook. I just go on Dr. Gall's up to date. He is now, he got an iPhone. The great one has an iPhone, you know. And the great one always depends on books. The guy's had 8 bazillion. You go into his office, there's no room. You got to go like this between the stacks of books. The guy reads great scholar, great reader. And I thought if he got an iPhone, it would really help him with all of his research, you know, with running the doctoral program at Destiny School of the Bible and all that big stuff, you know. And so, you know, I'm sure he's doing great research. So I was leaving Friday night, and we were gone to open houses all day yesterday, and a baby shower in an open house on the other side of the state. Well, anyhow, I go downstairs, I kick the door open in his office, and says, okay, Doc, I'll see you Sunday. I won't be here tomorrow. And he goes, hey, he's got his iPhone. Hey, have you ever seen a chicken play the piano? I said, what? He said, have you ever seen a chicken play the piano? I said, that's deep research, Gall. I'll tell you, it's amazing. This chicken, it plays the piano. So you get depressed, and we all go on the internet looking for chickens that play the piano, right? We do. I don't mean to make fun of you, Doc, but it was funny. I got to tell you. I laughed all the way home about that. Chicken playing the piano. You know, that chicken has a destiny with Frankenmuth or something. I don't know. The problem with depression is self-medicating. If we self-medicate ourselves and we don't deal with it God's way, if we don't, we're in a world of trouble. You and I have this problem. You know, I always feel good if I buy something new. Don't tell me about all the guitars I own, okay? Yes, I met a wonderful, wonderful guy out of Nashville. Right now he's working for my brother here in Novi. My brother Jerry is in the training the sales staff for the Cisco Corporation for years. He's about to retire. But this one guy is from Nashville and is a friend of a guitar guru, and he's a guitar guy, and we hooked up, and we've been sending each other pictures of our guitars. I know. We call it guitar acquisition syndrome, gas. And he said to me, brother, he's a Southern, but brother, you got the gas bad. I said, I know. And, you know, if I buy myself something new, I feel really good about it. Don't you? When you feel sad, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We seem to do that, don't we? And that's just a way of trying to self-medicate. You know, there's a lot of believers that have sexual addictions because it's the only way they feel alive. A lot turn to alcohol and drugs. A lot of people that cut themselves and give themselves pain, it somehow gives them a little bit of relief from the sadness. Now, what happens is when we self-medicate like that, nothing changes. It only gets worse, and it drags everybody around us down, and it takes families on this unwanted trip of generations keeping secrets about what people in the family do. These secret addictions, just goes on for generations. It's this tangled web caused by avoiding the truth of our sadness and depression. This is the core of my work. I mean, the core of my work truly is trying to help God's people beyond this kind of depression and sadness that happens to us in this world. It's why so many of us are here, to just help others find hope and encouragement in the midst of that kind of despair. And so, I want us, with that 20-minute introduction, let me now take you to this portion of Scripture I want you to look at. Because here, the writer of Hebrews tells us some incredibly important things about dealing with it. Now, these folks are suffering with despair and depression because of persecution. But it is true for all forms of depression. Let me read it to you again. And through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. I have three simple points for you. Here's the first. In order to get beyond our depression, we have to change direction. We just can't keep going down that dark hole. We have to change direction. And it takes effort to change that direction. He says here in verse 15, let us continue to offer to God what's the next word? Sacrifice. Did you notice that? It costs you something. It takes effort to change direction. Let's continually offer to God a sacrifice. I want to tell you, you are not powerless over this. You belong to Jesus. The Spirit of God lives inside of you if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You are not powerless about it. You can make a choice to offer God a sacrifice of something very important. But I want you to see, it's a sacrifice. You're not powerless. You know, Dave, I was talking to Dave Bennett this week, and he said to me, when we were talking about this subject, you know, Satan only has the power we give him. Did you hear that? Satan only has the power we give him. You know, the strange religious view that somehow there's this big struggle between Satan and Jesus? I want you to know, Satan is God's lackey. He can't do anything unless we give him permission to do it. I mean, he comes and tempts and works on all of us. But I want you to know that he only has the power that we offer to him. If we will not change direction, make a choice to change direction, we're in deep trouble. We have to change direction. We have to make the sacrifice of something very important that we'll talk about in a moment. When the Bible talks about the way we think, and of course what we think then affects our talk, we're told we can stop that. It was the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4 that said, do not let. Did you hear that? That means you have the power to not let this happen. Do not let any unwholesome speech come out of your mouth, but only which is good for the building up of others, to encourage them. Do not let. Don't give me that. The devil made me do it. Remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. I just, you know. But changing direction, do not let. It's so, so very important. You control what is happening to you at one point. You've got to remember that. You control it. And if we will not make the sacrifice, if we won't stand up to make the decision to change direction, then we're in big trouble, because they ain't nobody else who has that power over you but you and God. And the Lord's all willing to help. But we have to make decisions in order to make that happen. To be a victim. I know being a victim makes you feel more comfortable, like it's out of control and you can't help it. There's a lot of things that happen to us that we can't help, that we weren't in control of. Some of us were victims of awful crimes. But we don't have to stay there. If you're harboring bitterness and anger and resentment and unforgiveness, somebody said, I chose, you know, somebody wronged me and I decided to set that prisoner free, and I found out that the prisoner was me. When we let it go, when we forgive it, when we choose to change the direction. Things change. And listen, are you tired of this yet? I mean, not the sermon. Of course not. I'm talking about, don't be saying amen or anything because you're going to be taking that wrong. But I'm talking about, are you tired of allowing this thing to control your life? Now listen, there are sometimes depression becomes clinical. When that happens, you need a therapist and a psychiatrist and probably some medication to help you. Okay? I'm trying not to, Debbie and I spent part of the day yesterday with our friend Sean, who's a young psychiatrist, practices in Windsor, Myron. He's a great, good Canadian boy. And, he was very anxious to tell me of the patients he treats, by the way, that those who have a deep faith, and he says, you know, it always seems to be very committed Christians. They're the ones that live the long lives, he said. He said there's something about their faith in God that gives them physical endurance. He said, I've seen it in his research. Really interesting. Great kid. Brilliant young man in the research they're doing, by the way, on depression, which was interesting. I had those conversations all week. You can change that channel. You just got to get up and walk over and change it. Listen to me. Please listen to me. You have to change it. I wish you could have known Julia. Absolutely beautiful young woman. I met her when she was 18 years old. Talking to her and her soon-to-be husband upstairs in my office 20 years ago. 22 years ago, maybe. I remember her shining eyes. I remember how much she loved him. That marriage did not work out. There was a lot of hurt. And beyond the bitterness and the hurt that was never dealt with, never brought into the open, it just stayed within the family until 6 weeks ago, her 11-year-old boy found her handgun and ended his own life. And then last week they found Julia with an empty bottle of pills in a hotel. Gone. All because she wouldn't change the channel. She loved Jesus. Her life had become a mess. She made a lot of bad decisions and life happened to her. You think you're above her? You're not. All of us need to be very careful about our own emotional and spiritual health that way. And as your pastor, it's my responsibility to tell you it's time to change the channel, change direction. You have to do that. It's time not just to change direction, but it's also time to change your focus. Here's what the sacrifice that we're going to choose to give is this. It says, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. It's time for you to change the subject, the direction, but also to change the subject, your darkness. What you've been struggling with has held you down for days, for weeks, for months, for years, for decades. It's time to change your focus. You know what? You don't feel like it. You don't want to do this. You've become accustomed to this feeling of despair and despondency. You think it's you. It isn't you. And you think, we all think at times, that we can't do anything about it. We are told to get up and choose to do something difficult, to change the focus. And that changing of focus is to focus off of this stuff that we keep focusing on and keeping us in the hole, to start focusing on the truth of who God is and what He has done. What are you thankful for today? That's where you begin. Thankfulness. What are you thankful for? Do you have a car that works? Have you ever had a car that didn't work? We had a Volkswagen Beetle. We bought it new in 1971 when Debbie and I were dating, and I was in seminary. And that thing, we drove that for 236,000 miles. That thing was a death trap. When we got, we'd go across the railroad tracks on Scott Lake Road, and there were no, all of the shock absorbers had rusted out and fallen off the car. Okay? And you'd go across a railroad track and everything would just start bouncing. You had to like stop the car so it would stop and then start up again. We drove that thing for probably 2 years like that. And one day we went to see my friend Andy Anderson. Oh, you guys gave me a job in 1978. God bless you, golfer, hiring me, man. And for there's some of you here that actually voted to let me work here back in 19. Thank God bless you, because I went to see my friend Andy Anderson. And we bought a new American Motors car. I know they weren't too great either, but when you compare it to that Volkswagen, it was the Taj Mahal, okay? And I remember, wow, Lord. But you know, we have the blessings of living in this culture, and we just get used to it all. We got air conditioning running today, kids. We all ate breakfast. We had a bed to sleep in last night. We have people that care about us. We have so much to be thankful for. I mean, have you ever seen somebody that... I'm always profoundly moved when I left the hospital this week. Somebody was a quadriplegic, had broken his neck. And I remember walking out and looking at my arms and legs. They work. Man, we all have something to praise the Lord for. To thank Him for what we have, to thank Him for what He's done. In fact, turn with me. Go to Psalm chapter 42, will you? Look at this. The psalmist, you know, especially, you know, the creative really struggled with depression, and the sons of Korah sure did in the writing of this old song, because they deal with it just like other artists deal with it, but they did it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and wrote scripture for us. Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Let me begin reading at verse 5. And I have gotten over it. I've started marking in my new Bible. I've done it. So I'll mark this one all up like all the others upstairs. Verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Oh, you've asked that question, haven't you? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And watch Him change direction. Watch Him change the focus. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. He's remembering the works of God. When he mentions those places. Do you see that? Do you see the change of focus in the midst of depression? Do you see it? Man, we offer Him a sacrifice of praise. Let me read you Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Do you see that? Change the focus. And the focus is, I'm going to remember you. I'm in this hole, but I'm going to remember you. Why are you down? Sherry.
What was that last one?
Oh, thank you, honey. That's Proverbs 77, verses 11 and 12. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry. Psalm. Psalm 77. 11 and 12. Let's also go to Psalm 107. I mean, the Psalms are full of this. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Look at this. In the midst of your struggle, here are some words to memorize and to say to the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands. Hey, are you one of those? Are you redeemed? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you been redeemed from the hand of the foe? Did He gather you from the lands of loneliness and brokenness? Did He do that for you? Then you have to say so. Raul Libres comes from Haiti. He stood up here 100 times. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's the King James version of that. Remember that? Let the redeemed whom He has rescued from the hand of the enemy. He does that whole thing. I don't do Creole very well, but he does it well. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. When we remember what He has done for us as individuals, you've got to remember His love endures forever. You know what that means? He was good to you then. He's going to be good to you now. He's going to be good to you forever. It's never going to end. Man, it's dark today. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to change focus for sure. I'm going to change focus. And seriously, when we read Psalm 42, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. You hear that? My Savior and my God. It ain't over. He is not done being good to me and to you. Do you hear that? Oh, it's so important to change direction and to change focus. Now listen, we have to do this. We have to choose to change direction, and then we have to choose to change the focus. Do you see? It's so important. It's so simple we can miss it. But with remembering and thanking God for our past, and then thinking of our future and our present and thank Him for it, it refocuses our minds, our hearts, and our lives. It's like when your computer is scrambling, you just hit the reset button. What is going on here? And you shut it off and turn it back on again, and it all reboots. It's the rebooting of your soul in the midst of the darkness. Do you see it? Change direction, change focus, and then I love what else the writer of Hebrews said when he went on to verse 16. After saying, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Oh, by the way, the fruit of lips that confess His name. His name means who He is, right? You are going to keep telling yourself and the Lord, you know who He is. You know what He's done. Do you see that? About His name. His name is who He is. Beautiful. But last point is this, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. What? Isn't that an interesting? He told us that we need to change direction, that we need to change our focus. But you know what happens to us when we're depressed? We start what they call navel gazing. We overanalyze ourselves to death. Oh, it's all we think about. You know, there's most things we can't fix with others and ourselves. So doing a bunch of, you know, over-analyzing of yourself isn't going to go anywhere. You can thank the Lord. Change that. But there's something else. You got to get the focus off you. You got to change focus, direction. You got to change focus. It's time to change the subject. You're not the subject of everything. You know, when you're around trouble people, all they can talk about is themselves. Whenever you talk to somebody and they never ask you how you are or what's happening in your life, it's because they're probably really struggling, really insecure, and probably really troubled. If you find yourself in that situation, it's time to change the direction, change the focus back to the Lord off your troubles, but then change the subject to another subject. The needy are all around you. I'm not talking about the guy that's scamming on the street corner with a sign, making $400 or $500 a day, making people that have a few dollars feel guilty, and then goes home and takes a shower and pays the bills. You know what I mean? I'm not talking the scammers. There are people all around you who would never say a word, but are you paying attention? You know, we're so self-focused, it's so hard to see. You know, so Deb and I never had children that lived. And, you know, what it does is make you more sensitive to kids. I observe. I watch. And just yesterday, I saw three little girls doing everything they could to get their dad's attention. You know, they were doing all their little cute things, and they were trying to get them to, you know, play or to talk to them or even to look at them. You know, it isn't just little girls. It's everybody. The needy are everywhere. And we have been called by God to be His hands and His feet and His voice in this world. To love others. They're everywhere. I was struck by Paul Simon's old song. He was a most peculiar man. He died last Saturday. He turned on the gas and he went to sleep with his windows closed so he'd never wake up to his silent world in his tiny room. And somebody said he's got a brother somewhere who should be notified soon. And all the people said, what a shame that he's dead, but wasn't he a most peculiar man? Are we only going to talk about how weird people are? Because we are. When you say people are weird, you got to look in the mirror. Come on. Come on. We're all out there, aren't we? So it's so easy to talk about how strange somebody is, and somehow that alleviates our caring about them? I don't think so. I don't think so. We're here to care. We're here to love them. Notice them. Get your eyes off yourself. You know, when you start realizing how much the Lord has done for you, you realize He's got you covered. And since He's got you covered and He's going to take care of you, you don't have to worry about you all the time. You can actually be set free to have eyes to see others. Hey, it's time. You've struggled with this long enough. It's time to change. It's time to change the direction. Choose to do it. It's time to change the focus. It's not about your troubles. It's about who He is. And you need to start telling yourself, make a list of those things you're grateful for, and then make a list of who He is and what He has promised. And then it's time to change the subject. It's not all about me and you. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You have set us free, but how we love staying within the safety of our bars. How it's so easy to blame everything else on our trouble, thinking that we can't escape when You have unlocked the prison doors, and all we have to do is lean on them and find that the locks are not locked and the door pushes open. Save us from ourselves, Lord. Help us. I ask that You would pour out a blessing on Your people of joy and of thankfulness that can only come from You when we remember who You are and what You've done and what You will do. Lord, we ask You to give us eyes to see. Help us. Thank You for our time together today, Lord. Bless Your people. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.